Good evening, everybody. Here we are again, Among the Realms. Okay, we're broadcasting live from Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey. We're here with our fearless leader, Jackie Geary. Jackie, get over here.
Hello.
Mercedes.
Hello.
And myself, Charlie Bach. We're here tonight. We're going to be talking a lot about, psychometry?
Mm-hmm.
Well, get over here, Jackie. Come on. I want you to explain things. Okay, let me finish up what we're doing here. Okay, what we're doing is we're going to be on the hour we're going to be on the air for about an hour or so. And what is our call-in number? Do we have our call-in number? I'm trying to look at it here. I forgot it.
In the corner.
It's what?
Up in the corner.
Oh, I see it. Hang on a second. I see it. Our call-in number is 347-633-9648. I'm going to say that a couple of times, so in case anybody's writing it down. It's 347-633-9648. Now, I just want to let you know, last week we got talking pretty good. We had a bunch of callers calling in. I don't know, 40 or 50 people waiting to talk, and we hardly talked to anybody. So we're going to try to be a lot better this time. And we're gonna try to stay on target and make sure that everybody gets to talk if they want to talk. We're trying to promise you this time. But again, the call-in number is 347-633-9648. And again, we're broadcasting here from Trinity Metaphysical. And this is the home of E-Crypt Ghost Hunters. We're here. We do a lot of investigations. Jackie does a lot of energy work here. She does readings. And she's got a few other people that work here in the office with her. But what we're going to be talking tonight about is, what is it called?
Psychometry.
What is that? Going to?
That's when you can get information off of something by touching it or looking at it. For a picture, it's looking at the picture and holding it. For any other object, it's obviously we do this in class every week, but it's getting the information off of it when we're holding it. And it's quite interesting, some of the things we do get, because sometimes you'll pick up the energy off of the person who owned it or where the object was from. You know, everybody's different in the kind of information they get, but it's definitely past information.
Okay.
So, and it is something we do. We actually, for every development class we do, that's our warm-up. So, so it's definitely our warm-up exercise, but it's really good because it's something that once you tune into it and, you know, you're good with that, then you can get everything else, you know, to kind of work with you too. So it's, I know you guys, well, you're really good at it. You're definitely good at the psychometry.
I've been told that about a lot of things. No. I meant we're having a tough time here tonight because I bought ice cream and in between people talking, I'm trying to wolf it down here. So.
It's from Dairy Queen.
It's from Dairy Queen. Here's a commercial for Dairy Queen. But anyway, so psychometry is getting energy off of something?
Yeah, information. Psychic
information.
Information.
Okay. Would you get the same energy by sticking your finger in a socket?
I mean,
it's electrical,
no.
Right?
Usually what you want to do for psychometry is you want to hold the object. And for some people, you know, it's good to close your eyes. That's how it works for a lot of people because they can just kind of clear their mind and get their information. But some people are going to get, maybe it'll physically, you know, make them feel something. Maybe they're going to get pictures or images in their head of where it's from or who had it. So some people can actually describe somebody. Everybody gets something different, but people actually do that when they go into homes too. They might, like even when we go on a ghost investigation, sometimes we touch something, we get the information. So the reason we start with that is it's good for kind of getting your, you know, your intuitive side going and working, which is why we usually do that right after the meditation. But when people learn how to get that kind of information, it's good for themselves, even for everyday life.
I got a question for you as far as when we're here in the shop and we've got our class and we're talking about meditation and, you know, psychometry and getting in the right state of mind, really. What happens when you don't do any meditation at all and you just touch something and your mind just goes.
Just wanders.
Boom. You know, you get something right away. What is that?
Oh, that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, that so it's, no, you shouldn't be preparing all the time. You should just be.
No, well, sometimes what it is, well, once you get into a good place, but there'll be times where people are just, you know, they pick something up or even they shake somebody's hand and they're going to get information. I mean, but psychometry is off of an object or, you know, a picture or something like that. Like last week we didn't do a picture of a person, but we did a picture of a car and you guys got a lot of information. Mm. So some people aren't as good with pictures as they are with the actual physical objects because they're holding them. And like I said, everybody's different with it, but for some people, they like doing that because they can get information on sometimes environmental information.
Mm.
You know, just like you did. Well, I mean, we obviously have some examples, but Dana actually brought something really good into class last week, and you got a lot of information on Dana off of that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the object itself, yep. But the energy that touched it.
Yep. No, it's pretty interesting because I'm sure that everybody has something. Had a girlfriend, boyfriend, maybe, you know, I relate back to when my grandfather was a little old guy. He came from Europe. He fought in World War One, and he had a sword from World War One. And whenever I touched the sword, I didn't realize when I was a kid the different feelings I would get from the sword. Now, I don't know if he had actually drilled people with it or if anything had happened, but the sword did definitely carry some energies with it. And, you know, you can't walk around with a sword now today. Right away, people be looking at you strange and calling the police or something like that. But I'm sitting there saying, you know, depending upon what you have, maybe even if you go into an antique store and there's antiques there. Now,
The haunted collector.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, an antique store. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff, obviously, if it's an antique, you would think it's got to be old. Could be carrying a whole bunch of different types of energies. Okay. And if it is carrying all these different types of energies, maybe even attachments to spirits, what happens when you like something and you say, yeah, I'll buy that, and you bring it home?
You're bringing it with you.
What are you bringing? The object?
The spirit.
Oh, the spirit. You're bringing the spirit with you.
Well, if you're feeling it, yeah, if it wasn't cleansed.
Okay.
So what you want to do is if you do pick up anything like that, you want to cleanse it. You might want to do your psychometry first and get all your information first.
Okay.
But, that is actually how a lot of people do pick things up. They touch it and it feels good to them, where they feel like, I don't know what it is, but it feels like there's something really good with this, or it feels like, I don't know, it feels like it was in like this Victorian house, or, you know, they don't even realize they're doing it.
Negative.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people might touch something, they're like, I want nothing to do with that. It doesn't feel good.
Right.
You know, so.
Can you pick something up and get a really good feeling and then take it home and get a really bad feeling?
Usually your first.
The first, you know, one is what you stick with?
Yeah, but that's why it's good for you. Like, you can use this kind of thing in everyday life because it can keep you, you know, you might feel good with something, so, and it gives you good positive energy. Maybe just feels good for you to have it with you, like your stone.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's a great example because it was something that was just randomly here that I brought, and then, you know, you resonated with it, and I gave it to you, but it makes you feel good. So,
yes,
it
does.
See how it, see that's the difference it makes? You can
tell. We're not going to go there, okay? But.
No, you can explain it,
because
that was a psychometry.
No, it's written on the show.
No.
Thing, so. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that part we can do. But, yeah.
All right, Charlie's getting around it. Tell him about, I had a stone that was shaped in an egg shape.
Yeah, small egg.
Mm, it was and it's jasper.
Mm-hmm.
And we passed it around for psychometry to see what everybody got off of it. And Charlie just resonated with that stone. And
good way
it
to put
feel
it.
Good.
Good way to put it. Resonated.
Charlie,
yes,
liked the stone very much.
Very much. In fact, it
really
never it never leaves my pocket now.
It doesn't.
It does. I got it all the time.
So that's why you got your hands in this.
Yeah,
I'm playing pocket pool here. Come on.
You're playing elevator.
No. At my age, there's no elevators. Something's going up. But the idea is, okay? the idea is the fact that it could be a stone. It could be something that was living and made out of wood, right? It could be something somebody owns, maybe a hat, clothing. It could be, you know, whatever, right?
I think we've done a little bit of everything.
We've done a little bit of everything. And you know what? You sit there and you wonder about it. And it's just the fact that energy is everywhere. Okay, everything has energy.
Yep.
And you know what? When you find it and it's appealing to you, it's something that you resonate with, you ought to keep it around.
Well, it's residual energy, you know, it's attached to the object.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
even if somebody's owned it, when you're doing something like psychometry, you're getting all different kinds of information. And like I said, it could be the person who actually has it right now or who it belongs to. You might actually pick up specific things on that person. Or when you're touching it, the object, you might be getting where it came from. Maybe you're getting geographical, you know, information on it. Maybe you're getting, you know, where it had been or, you know, what it was next to. Or, you know, it could be anything. And for some people, if it was something manufactured, they've even picked up that kind of stuff. There's always energy on items, and that's why we're always taught to cleanse them when we get them. You know, even stones and things, they're passed, you know, packaged and all that kind of stuff. So you want to cleanse all of your, you know, anything you get. Some people don't want to cleanse stuff because they like the way it feels. You know, they like the energy.
Yeah, I didn't do anything with my stone. So now, when you say cleanse, do you mean like, you know, just put it in the sink and wash it with dishwater? Or?
Some people actually do just wash it with water, but.
Okay. Does it help?
They're saging it. Some of the stones that can take salt. But, I mean, I think we did a class on that kind of protection stuff here. We do revisit one of those again. But, yeah, there's all different kinds of ways to cleanse your objects. Most people do sage and that type of thing. But if you actually want to get the information off them first, obviously, you know, you're not going to bring something home that doesn't feel good. Though you may get a gift. I know people who have given somebody a gift, and when they got it, they knew there was something that didn't feel good with it. And they didn't like the way it felt when they touched it. And when they got the object, they were getting all this, you know, not so good information.
Is that when somebody re-gifts?
You know what's funny? That person that actually happened to, she brought it back. It was like from another state. So she gave it back to the person and told them to bring it back.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, depending on how you're using psychometry, I mean, we started out on more of a lighter side here.
Yeah. Wow.
Dark side quick.
Yeah.
You had a good example, too, when you went to Gettysburg, when you touched the cannon.
You know what?
That's exactly
the same. And the one thing I'm sorry that I didn't do, okay, well, let me tell you the story. We went down to Gettysburg, and obviously there's energies all over the place down there. And there are cannons all over, more cannons per capita down there than anywhere in the world. But we went out, we took the tour, which was amazing. We also then went around town to the Jenny Wade House and all that. And then we went to the National Cemetery. And along one side of the National Cemetery is a wrought iron fence that separates it from the Evergreen Cemetery, which is the town cemetery. And along that fence, there are cannons facing out, and there's a soldier's memorial there, you know, not too far from where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. And I'm looking at the soldier's memorial, which is a huge monument, and I kept turning to my right and looking towards the fence, and there was this one cannon there. Now, they all look the same, but this one cannon was there, and I just said to my wife, I'm going to walk over there, and I walked over to the muzzle of the cannon. Was facing away from the fence. I was looking right at the muzzle. And I was made to put my hand on the muzzle. Now, all of these cannons are all light green. Just put my hand there. Just put it right on. And they're all green. Right. All of these cannons are green because they've been outside. They're brass. They got that green patina on it. And this cannon was all green at this end, the muzzle end. And I put my hand on it, and all of a sudden I felt my throat starting to close immediately, just like that. And then I started to get the feeling that not me, but somebody attached to that cannon was extremely afraid, like nuts afraid, you know, like totally afraid of anything that was happening, which could explain the fact that most of these guys were between 14 and 24. They'd never been at war before. They left for the weekend, told their parents or their families, hey, I'm going to go fight the war. I'll be back on Sunday night. And you know what? Most of them didn't come back. So, I mean, if you're standing at a cannon and let's say you're 16 years old and you see all kinds of hell breaking loose, people dying, how afraid are you going to be? So I immediately, I started to cry. My eyes welled up and I started to cry and I pulled my hand off the cannon and my wife looks at me and she says, you know, what's going on? I said, I don't know. So she says, well, sit down. So we sat down for a little while. I composed myself. Then we got up and we went back to the cannon and I walked around behind it. And if anybody knows the anatomy of these cannons, they're narrow at the front where the cannonball comes out, and they get wider at the back end. And they got a knob on the back, so you can, I guess, move it around, hold it, and move it around. The knob was completely free of any type of patina. It was shiny brass, so obviously everybody was touching it there. Nobody touched it at the front end. But, you know, this was all cleaned and pretty and everything. And what I'm sorry that I didn't do, I didn't ask my wife to touch the cannon, which I should have. I should have said to her, touch the cannon. You know, do you feel anything?
Take a picture or something like that.
Didn't even think of that. It was so overwhelming, right. You know. I just didn't think. I wasn't thinking.
Not everybody gets that, like what you might have been getting off,
yeah.
You know, for information. She might
yeah. Have. But then the woman in the pub, I said to her, what's up with the cemetery? And she goes, you touched the cannon. And I was, what? I was like, what? She goes, you touched it? And I was like, what do you mean? And she just looked at me and nodded, and she says, yeah. She says, you touched it. And I went, yeah, I did. She goes, which one? I said, well, you know where the monument is? She goes, yeah, the one behind it and down the walk a little bit. And I went, yeah, that's the one. She says, yeah, people see soldiers there all the time. So, I mean, that was
yeah.
Scary. To me, that was scary. Until I realized the fact that, well, you know, that's amazing. It's not scary. It's amazing.
Like
but
you said, somebody lost their life there. Probably really young. They're probably reliving it every
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you tend to pick up a lot on people themselves, like
yeah.
What they're feeling
yeah.
Or food.
Well, this guy hadn't eaten. But
no, like even last night during psychometry, and it's always good information. You just happen to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, those
yeah.
pieces of information,
yeah.
You know, so do you think you're better with objects than pictures? Or do you think you're about the same?
To tell you the truth, up until the other week when you had the picture of the car, I didn't think I was that good with pictures.
It's very hard. Pictures are very hard.
Yeah, but I seem to have felt a lot with the car.
Mm-hmm.
So next time we have another picture, I'll let you know. But
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like we start out the beginning of the night and you pass something around. I'm like, this is so outlandish. I'm writing it down, but I don't believe it. I don't think it's got anything to do with this object. And then we finish and you're in amazement that I come up with this stuff. And I'm like, well, like when Dana brought in that ring.
Oh, yeah,
jewelry.
Phenomenal for anybody who is going to start working with psychometry. Jewelry has so much energy on it.
Yeah.
It's great to use to practice your psychometry or to work on. So if you have, even if you have a friend and you see them wearing something, ask them if you can hold it for a second and give them some information. It's really good to practice with people doing
yeah.
that, you know, if you really want to work on it.
Yeah.
But jewelry is great.
You know, what's funny is my wife, you know, she sort of thinks we do things, Danny. She doesn't think we do things. She thinks it might be hokey. It might not be hokey. She's really on the borderline. Yet, when one of our friends, one of these people we know, gave me something to hold. Actually, he had it and he was talking about it. And I said, could I hold that for a minute? He goes, yeah, sure. And he hands it to me. And I'm sitting there, my mind was racing. And I gave it back to him, and he goes, "So?" And I told him what I felt and what I saw. And he looks at Sandy, and he goes, "Wow." And she's like, "What? What?" He goes, "What he said." He said, that's almost right there, almost everything. And I was shocked because, you know, she saw this. And, you know,
we see you do it all the time in class.
Okay, yeah, but I don't go home and, you know, home and I read my wife's mind, but I know what she's thinking before I even get home because a lot of times she's angry with me. You know, you've been married so long, it's not that hard to read.
Feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
go home tonight. you're getting it, boy. You are getting it. But it's just a matter of, you know, the psychometry. Let's get back to that. The idea of jewelry, very powerful, right?
Yeah.
What else would be very powerful?
Antiques.
Stones. Yeah, antiques hold a lot because anything that's very old is going to have a lot of energy attached to it, you know, for the most part. And also because it's a lot of times has changed hands, you know, so if it's something that was passed down.
What about, say your grandparents had a house and then your parents were in the house. Now you're in the house. What about the house? Not spirits, just energy.
Well, the house itself. I mean, even some of the times we've gone on investigations, we've done that where we've gone and, you know, put our hand on the railing, you know, and one of those examples was the one we did up in Cragsmore. A lot of us were doing that, getting energy off of, that was very old.
Yeah.
You know, I think we even did that in Bainbridge when that one room where we were sitting at the table.
Oh, that had all the furniture in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's... you know, you're definitely, obviously you can use it.
Yeah.
But even if you find something, if you find something that somebody dropped and you pick it up, if you're really somebody who's more intuitive or really trying to work on that intuitive side, opening your awareness, you can, you know, get information on, you know, for some people they actually pick up, it feels like it belonged to a little girl or, you know, it feels like they, you know, it belonged to a grandmother or, you know, I think somebody, you know, I don't think somebody left this here on purpose, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know, I think it's great because it's you're just kind of tuning into your senses all around, what you're feeling physically, what you're getting for information in your mind, what you're hearing, you know, what you're sensing. So it's a little bit of everything when you're holding an object. And if it's a stone or something out of the ground, a lot of times people are picking up, you know, the energy from that stone itself.
Mm. Well, I know we're talking about energy from other people or whatever, right? What if you're going into a home to do an investigation and we had done one of these where the woman said, oh, the plates fly across the room and this and that. Well, could you get energy from the spirit or whatever that's throwing the plate across the room?
If it's on an object, if you're doing psychometry, like if it had some attachment to an object or was touching an object or something like that, like something that belonged to it, you'll pick its energy up. But I mean, in general, we're going to pick the energy up off of a spirit if you're working with spirit work. But if you're talking about specifically with psychometry, then it would have had to have come in contact with.
That's why I did that time with the roll of duct tape that went flying past us. Do you
remember
that?
Oh, yeah.
Who was
that?
In a Wantage.
In Wantage?
No.
By you?
Yep.
My address? Hey, you never know.
Was the white thing?
900 mile an hour.
So that's usually a bottle or something, yeah.
He wasn't very happy.
Yeah, well. I still think we should do one of our classes up on my deck and sit out there, and I bet you people would feel things because my son said that I told you about seeing. I didn't see, but my dog saw, and well, that was a whole different ball game. But my son saw down the hill from us near a house a guy standing in overalls, and he was just standing there looking up at our house. Now when we moved in, we knew the. We met the old guy that lived there, and he didn't look like this guy that my son envisioned. My son said, you know, he's looking at him, and my son's cutting the lawn. And he figures, oh, he's going to take the lawnmower down there, say hi. So you know how you're doing things, you're on maybe riding lawnmower, you look around, you look back, guy was gone. The guy was there, and then he was too old to move that fast, okay? He might have turned around and started to, but he was gone. And Jimmy was like, huh, well, he left. And then he came up and he told us about it, and he goes, wait a minute. The guy was just gone. He's there, and then he says, Dad, I just looked away, and I looked back, and he was gone. So, I mean, that's got to be pretty good.
Now, the guy you bought the house from, is he passed?
No, he divorced his wife and married a go-go dancer.
Oh, okay.
He did not.
He did. Yeah, he did.
He passed on his wife, then.
Yeah, yeah. And if you would have seen his wife, you would have had no... this guy had to be nuts. Yeah. But the idea here is that, you know, when you talk about the spirits and, you know, psychometry, I guess you could get it on just about anything, right?
Whatever you touch.
Well, let me ask you something.
Cleanse it all up.
one of our members, Mark, if you're listening, he's like a co-captain of a ship. And he does like the merchant marine type of deal or something. He's like a commercial captain. And he could be now, it could be in the Indian Ocean somewhere right now listening to us. But what about the entire ship? What about him being out there? I mean, I think he gets a different ship all the time, doesn't he?
You know, I'm not sure.
I think he has the same ship.
Yeah, does he really?
Yeah, I thought he was.
But anytime he ports in a city and explores, he should be doing psychometry. He'd probably get some really cool stuff off of anything he picked up in any foreign country.
Yeah, whatever he picked up. Yep. that's when he goes and he sees the doctor before he comes home.
Just ignore
Charlie. You know what they say about, you know, every port. Come on, Mark. You got to come back. My mind's racing here.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. I bet you he doesn't. He's probably too far out there.
He does have really good, you know, some things that he actually does come in contact with that he gets some great information. We should tell him to bring some things back to use for class.
Oh, how great would that be from around the world? That would be dynamite.
And we've had some great stuff. Well, even some of the things we've packed around, there are some people who get phenomenal, like, you're one of them, but there are some people who get sheets and sheets and sheets of information, you know, and then there's others that might get one or two or three things, but they're like dead on. It just depends. Yeah.
Tell us how, okay, like when you were teaching us, tell everybody who's listening right now, what would you do to help somebody develop, you know, their skills?
Well,
this?
The first thing is, and I know we say this pretty much, this is like, this month is Psychic Development Month, so every week on the radio show, we'll do another topic on how to develop, you know, more of your awareness. But I tell everybody for every single thing they do that meditation is the biggest, biggest key in it, because you're dumping everything out of your mind, at least for the moment, and you're just going into a deep meditative state, and you're just able to get some, you know, relaxed energy in there to get your information. So we obviously start our class off with that all the time anyway. And the first thing we do after that is the psychometry.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what you want to do is, and I said that, I know I said it yesterday and you guys did it, it's just, you just want to empty everything out. You just want to dump everything out. When you're holding an object, some people do like to look at it first, but it's good to close your eyes and just hold it and see what you're feeling. Or some people just like to just, they're not necessarily closing their eyes, but they're holding it in their hands and they're just getting the sense, the information will come in. Obviously, sometimes it's coming in one right after another, and sometimes it's senses, sometimes it's physical feeling, sometimes it is, you know, actual information being told to you, but you just write it all down, literally. The best thing I could tell anybody to do is to just not ask somebody any information on something, have them randomly give you something. If you, like I said, if you see them wearing something, starting out with jewelry is very good. And then just write down everything you get. And don't think about what it is. You know, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a hot dog. Put it down. If you have a piece of jewelry and you're getting a hot dog, that's all right. Maybe that's what they had. Maybe they had Nathan before.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing of weird things that people have gotten from psychometry was that one time that Diane picked up something that you brought. I forget what it was. And she said, the only thing that came into my head was the word wowza. And she was like, I don't know where that came from. Like, it sounds so weird to me. Mm-hmm. And then there
it just happened to be the saying that that person always used. Which is really
strange.
Neat. But it was
cool.
Let's see how, I mean, it was one random piece of information, but it fit.
Mm-hmm. Made a lot of sense, though, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I don't think you've, did you brought something in, though, right?
I've brought a lot of jewelry in for people to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had somebody who actually brought in a license, and it was from somebody, you know, a random person, and it was actually somebody who had gotten in a lot of trouble and that sort of thing. They still had their license, but the information that people got off that was amazing, because with a license picture, you know, it's just like a, you know, a deadpan picture usually, so it's, you don't always get, you know, not like they're posing for it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people got a really good stuff on that, so, you know, and like I said, we've had people held an object and got nothing, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing.
Well, in the same group, we could have 10 people sitting here, and some people go, I got nothing, and some people just spiral off.
Or some people just say, I don't know, I didn't really get anything, but, you know, I felt happy when I held
the
it.
The thing that surprised me last night here with our class was when you passed around the Druzy stone. Okay?
The Druzy quartz.
The Druzy quartz. What a beautiful rock, too. I mean, it was really nice. You started at this end, and we went around, okay? And everybody on this side of the room said, oh, the stone felt hot. And I was the first one to get it. And I said, wow, this feels cold. And then so did Dana and so did...
There were three people at Susan.
And they said, well, yeah, no, it was cold.
And by the time I got it back, it was boiling.
You said it was boiling.
Hot.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hot. And I handed it to you.
And neither Ron nor Maureen had it for...
seconds.
Really?
Yeah, for very long.
Wow.
And then I took it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so, has so much energy in it.
Wow.
It's really
cool.
Started vibrating.
Yeah.
Moving around there.
Cool.
Well, maybe it just didn't like us, the last ones holding it. I don't know.
Even a cold shoulder.
Yeah, real, basically. But I was just amazed because of the difference, so much of a difference between the people. You figure the more people that handle it, the warmer it would get.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it in my hand and I was like, wow, this feels nice and cool. And then I gave it to Dana. She felt the same way. Sue felt the same way. And then you said it was hot again when we handed it back to you. Amazing. You know, truly amazing. But, you know, when I think about, like, crystals and stones and stuff, scientifically it's been proven that crystals, different types of crystals, can alter frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they shoot them through lasers, you know, the light through a laser, you know, the laser light through a crystal to change its frequency and let it do different things. And, you know, I've always been fascinated with that idea. But I'm also wondering if you have a crystal and it's got certain energies in it, what are you doing to that crystal? The psychometry in that crystal, if you're actually shooting a laser through it, would that be an interesting thing to study? Because obviously if you're changing the energy in the stone, or the stone is changing the energy in the light, something has to be a trade-off there. It's got to be doing something, right? I would think so. And I mean, we just did that investigation this past Saturday, and the woman had that huge bunch of crystals in the one room there. Well, it looked almost like a crown. It was huge, right? Huge piece. And that was the room where we were getting all of those sounds.
Well, because crystal amplifies everything.
Well, it did. It did.
But that's what I was saying about stones. Like, stones or, you know, any kind of stone or anything that's from the ground is great for psychometry, because you're getting just like... what Dana brought in a few weeks ago or last week, that you, the one that looked like the paw print, was a paw print.
It was.
But
absolutely.
That had a lot of energy on it. That was great. Like, you got completely different information on that than what somebody else got. Some people got, like I said, the location and the area, like what they were feeling it was from, or whether they saw water or whatever by it. And you were getting actually Dana's physical ailment at the time. She wasn't feeling so well.
Yeah, she vomited at the time. And
Charlie wrote down vomit.
And I wrote down vomit. And she was shocked because that's how she felt.
Couldn't believe it, though. Like, just that. But that is something like that, you know?
Yeah. Although, okay, I all due respect to Dana, okay, but if you looked at what the paw print she had there, I will swear to God that's not a bear footprint. That looks like a large wolf or something like that, because it's got the individual pads, whereas a bear print, if you look at a bear's foot...
Well, wolves walk on their toes, basically.
Okay, but a bear print is flat with the claws and the tips out there. It's not, you know, standing up like a wolf with the individual little pads underneath. When I looked at that and she said it was a bear print, I'm thinking they made something of a different animal. I don't know if it was the bear she saw, but I'm not going to tell her that. I hope she's not listening.
Probably listening.
I hope you're not listening, Dana.
Chupacabra.
I saw it. It was chupacabra.
Did you see it?
Come on.
Did you hear a growl?
No, I didn't hear a growl. They had it in the trap, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It looked like some old mange, to tell you the
truth. Well, sometimes people let their imaginations go too. It didn't have wings. It didn't have anything like that. I mean, you know, it just looked like an angry, you know, mangy dog. I don't know. It didn't look very happy, though.
We do this all the time.
Special things like the, say, jewelry and whatnot? You do water?
Water.
Pometry or anything?
Well, you can have sacred water.
Well,
and you bless yourself with it afterwards.
Water and feel something?
I would assume you could touch anything and feel something, even though water is... flowing, but it's still environmental. So in other words, say you were at a house and you went out to the well and put your, I mean, you're probably getting, you know, information off the well itself, but if there was a pond or something on property or things like that, I would think you would pick up information of what happened there. I mean, I've done that, like even like going by water, by a water source and getting the information on things that had happened in that area. In fact, Virgil was with me. Virgil was testing. So he wanted to prove something to people. So he had brought me to this place once, and he asked me to do that, actually. It was like we were doing some psychometry stuff, and he was like, I want you to tell me what you're getting here, and like to go outside and like put your hand down or whatever. And I mean, I didn't know the information on the area, but he did, and he said it was, you know, it was accurate, but it was interesting what you get. So, yes, you can get it off of, you know, it's like an environmental reading. Mm-hmm. I mean, psychometry, usually when people are talking about it, it's more actually getting information off of something. The history is what it is. You know, getting the...
It's like hauntings, too, like famous hauntings or something. You're always going to have, like, running water, or there's always going to be water around or limestone.
Oh, yeah,
but
because that's a conductor.
It's a conductor.
We walk in the bathroom back here and get a head full of information. Everybody does it in this place. You get a lot of information when you're in the shower. Why?
Is that a play on words? A head full of information?
Yeah, literally.
Go to the bathroom and the head.
No pun intended.
Oh, my God.
No. You know what's interesting is, again, you know, Gettysburg is on my mind because I was just there a couple of weeks ago. But along what they called Seminary Ridge was a large building that they used as an army hospital. And they said whoever went through the doors in the front and came out the back was usually missing a limb. Because back then it was just meatball surgery, you know. It's the leg, the arm, the hand, whatever got blown up, they just cut right off. And then they cauterize they would put a tourniquet on it to stop it from bleeding, but that would be it. I mean, they had a hacksaw and, you know, a couple of knives, and that was it. That's how they took care of people. And they said that one of the doctors there lived right in town. I think it was one of the doctors. Anyway, he was doing at that time what was considered such a great job of saving lives, not limbs. But the enemy came.
That's how we corrected that.
Yeah. The enemy, I guess, took over the seminary hospital there for a fraction of a time. And they were so angry with this guy that was saving the lives of all of these Union guys that they took all of the limbs that were there and there were tons of them. They took all the limbs, and they went to this guy's house and dumped all the limbs into the well. So that it would ruin the wars.
Hanging around. They didn't get rid of them.
Well, there were so many guys that were just cutting them, throwing them.
Wow.
He threw it right out the window like that. Just like that, right out the window. But I mean, and then they took all of these limbs and they went to his house and dumped all the limbs into the well to ruin the well, to poison it. So, you know, now the guy's well was shot. He's done. He's well, I live there anymore. He's got no water. But it was just amazing some of the stories he heard down there. You know, but I always thought that when you go to the ocean, you know, when you're at the shore, when you go to a lake, when you're near a big body of water, it calms you. Water has a calming effect.
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to have so, well, we're
yeah.
supposed to be how much water in our bodies? Like,
90%.
Is it 90%?
90%.
Well, the idea here is that if you've got that much water and you're in conjunction with the feeling of the water and the moon and the tides and
the natural flow
and everything. I would think that any of the spirits or any of the feelings or any of the psychometry you could get from the water would be phenomenally great.
Well, people who pick up shells and things that are washed up, they get a lot of information on that type of, you know, object.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know, when you're little and you put the shell up to your ear and you can hear it.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of, you know, especially in the ocean.
Yeah.
The ocean is a story.
That's true.
The water is cleansing, and people don't even realize they're drawn to it, and that they're being drawn to it because it is. It's like cleansing for your soul, your energy, you know, just letting go for a little bit.
Well, I heard it's more for the oceans with the salt water than for fresh water because your blood is water and salt, basically. You got a lot of salt in your veins. So, I mean, that it's got to have something to do with that, you know?
Salt is the oldest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the other things I was curious about, too, was I had gone down as a kid to place in Bergen County. It's at Hackensack. And they had this old submarine called the SS Ling. I don't know if anybody knows. Okay, well, it's right on the Hackensack River, and it was right behind the building where the record, the newspaper was actually manufactured. You could go across the parking lot, and this I'm talking, the whole thing was maybe 100 feet long, the whole thing, and it was when the tide went out, this thing was sitting in the mud because you know it was docked there, but it wasn't moving anywhere, and when the tide came in, it would barely float, but it would float. It wasn't like you know. Sunk or anything. And when we went in there and we took the tour, I mean, you know, there was one guy there giving tours and there was actually hardly anybody going there unless they took like a class of kids in tour or something. But on a Saturday afternoon, there was like nobody there. And me and my dad and my sister went. And this guy was so happy to have anybody walk through there right away. He's giving you the best tour you've ever seen. I mean, he's telling you about everything. I got nothing there. As a kid, I thought I would have felt something. You know, you go to places, and as a kid, you don't know about energies. You don't know about psychometry. You don't know about anything. All you know is that everything's great.
Or spooky,
yeah. Right? But I'm in this submarine. Not one feeling of anything. I'm thinking back now. It was almost like, oh, wow.
But yeah. Very positive. I mean, maybe it was really nice.
I mean,
you know.
Submarine from World War II.
Yeah, I don't know. Might had a great ride.
Hey, we just shot that guy right out of the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It was. I'm thinking. You know. Then again, when I was small, my dad took us to the city for Fleet Week, and at that time we went on the Enterprise, which is a pretty nice size, you know, aircraft carrier. I did not like it. I love big ship. Bigger the better. This one, they took us on a tour. They took you on the elevator that brought the planes up and down and everything and all that. The feelings on that thing.
They're really big, though.
Yeah, but the feelings that you get on there, I don't know. Maybe a lot of people died on it. I don't know.
Sure
maybe.
They brought in people from the airplane, bombs, and all that.
Oh, sure. Amazing. Just amazing, the feelings that you get. But, you know, then again, psychometry is something that, I don't know, it's not really, it's one of these sciences that's not proven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can prove it by what you do, and you can. Who was the guy that used to read minds? The amazing Kreskin. Kreskin. He would come up with things on TV, and you'd sit there.
I have his game, the ESP game.
How'd you do with it?
All those years ago.
How'd you do?
Well, I was always fascinated with that stuff.
Was it like the thing we did last night at the end? Was it? Telepathy?
That'll
what
probably
is that?
Be more for next week.
Telepathy.
Yeah,
we were terrible.
Since it is psychic week.
I did great.
We'll
yeah,
little,
you got one out of seven.
We'll cover a little bit of telepathy.
Not true.
Come on. Next week. You got two?
I got not only the color from Maureen, who is my partner, I got a color the same color that
Ron
gave. Well, there's only so many colors and so many different people thinking colors.
Listen,
yeah, come on.
The chances of everyone thinking of the same color was very slim to begin with.
Well, that's right. So you had a big variety. I mean, you know, come on.
And
I got a red Corvette. Anybody could have just said red. They would have got it.
One out of 26 letters, I got the letter that Susan gave to Dana.
Well, I said B and you said what, D?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was close. It sounds like it.
No,
it's
B.
It.
B. Sorry,
it's
B.
Yeah,
so there it was. There it was. I mean,
one more bubble.
I got it.
Don't discount what I do, Charlie. That's it.
It's just because
Charlie
does
not like telepathy.
Well, I don't like telepathy. I just don't have it.
Does not like telepathy.
No, I don't. But. When you said, Jackie, when you said, okay.
He also doesn't like remote viewing.
Depends what I'm viewing.
But he loves clairvoyance.
I love
mediumship.
Astral travel.
Astral travel.
Okay, okay. Okay.
So he's busting shots.
Now, wait a second, though. But what did you say when we first started? What do you got to do? You got to create a tunnel between you and the person and think of it. And what did I say to you?
I don't know.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Take your dress off. Close your eyes.
To you? Charlie was wearing a dress.
No, I was saying it to her. All of a sudden, she went like, what? She heard me say it. I didn't say it with my lips. She heard me say it.
Did you really hear him say that?
Yes, you did. No, no. She says no now. I don't know. Yeah, right.
We do that all the time.
Jackie yells at me all the time to get out of her head.
Now, what does telepathy have to do with psychometry?
Nothing.
No,
we'll
it's got to.
Week.
It's got to because of the energy.
Mm.
Right?
Well, we're just sending and receiving.
Well,
we will cover
so
week.
An object is
when
actually
you fess
sending.
Up to you don't like it next week again, too.
I don't like it. I don't have to fess up. I'll tell everybody right now. I don't like it.
We'll cover something to you.
I'm not the amazing Kreskin, okay? That guy was amazing.
We'll cover all the Claires because you like all the Claires.
What was the one last night we were going to do and you said no?
What?
Claire, what's the one
here? We did Claire. Oh, no, Claire Audience.
Claire
Audience
Sex,
that.
Right?
I never heard of that.
That's where you listen next to the wall with the neighbor.
This is where we need Jane to feel your...
Yeah.
We're saying to give it back to you.
Oh, my
Lord.
Gosh.
Charlie's making up his own term.
We didn't even open the wine tonight.
No, I was just going to say that.
He's completely sober.
That ice cream must have had something in it. Yeah, definitely had something in it.
And all ice creams are empty.
Yeah.
Except for Ron's, which is in the fridge.
Yeah, you know what?
Vanilla.
You sure?
I'm good.
Delicious.
I'm good. Okay.
I'm good.
But
vanilla ice cream and scotch.
So we didn't. Did we do psychometry when we were down at the place this past weekend? On our investigation, we didn't touch anything, did we?
No, just not anything that you know. That we were going to get information on.
Yeah.
Most of that was, you know, in the rooms themselves.
You guys catching me?
Yes. Well, we had, there was, it was, I have to go through my voice stuff yet, but I know Dana got some video and Vera got some EVPs.
Well, Vera's spaced out.
So.
Vera was getting,
she was getting
a lot
of information.
A lot inside, you know. And
that was her friend, though, right? Or something.
Yeah, it was her.
Yeah. But she said there was a lot going on, more than she wants to really deal with. So that was kind of interesting. But I was just thinking that, you know, with that place being as active as it was, mm-hmm. we didn't really touch anything. And the stone behind the building, that big wall of stone back there.
You had the lime rock?
Well, I don't know what it was, but
crystal. It was quartz crystal.
I didn't see any crystal, was it?
It was in the stone in the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this. We're in the one room, and we got all the devices going. I got the camera going, everything, and we're hearing something from like right behind the. We're sitting there like this, and the wall is here, and there's something in the wall or on the other side of the wall trying to talk to us, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a mouse.
No, it wasn't a mouse. It was actually like
almost.
Yeah, and it kept going and going and going, and then finally we decided to go into the back room because that's where the shaman does his thing, and he cleanses the room really good,
yeah,
and everything. And well, no, he's there during the day. So we're there, and it's supposed to be an extremely clean room. So all of us are in the room there, all of us. And I'm telling you, the entire building is creaking like somebody's moving the building. And we're sitting there going, what the, you know, WTF, what's going on here? We leave that room, and we go, no. No, it was perfectly calm. We leave that room after about, half an hour, and we go back into the room we were in. Building ain't making any sounds anymore. There is no creaking, no
got
moving.
Got nothing.
Got nothing. And didn't want us in that clean room. Wanted us outside of that room so that it could do whatever it wanted to us, right? And who was the guy, Frank?
No,
the one that was killed across the street?
Yeah, but he wasn't the...
No, but Dave called him in.
That was the energy that just came waltzing in while we were
Came waltzing in. He just decided to come in because he was murdered across the street in a barber shop.
He was
a 79-year-old man?
81.
81?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When those hair scissors came
floating
across the room.
Oh, no, maybe it was 79 because we were talking about how he was almost 80.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think he was 79.
Yeah, I thought it was, but I was going to correct you.
Well, I'm not right all the time.
No, but you're psychic.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, I'm
going to
use that on that.
No, I'm only kidding. But it was good.
They're definitely going to get used to us. We definitely bounce around.
Yeah.
That's good. You cover a lot of angles.
Oh, yeah. It was terrific.
I think any subject we speak about on the show is something we use in so many different things, whether it be when we're doing development, when we're home, or when we're ghost hunting, or, you know, it doesn't make a difference, but I think
Absolutely.
Which is neat, but that's why you want to develop your awareness. Look how much you use it.
Use it all the time.
You know what's a good psychometry story? Really, remember the selenite stone you brought in that's now on my table in my room? That one of your customers brought you?
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, what do you guys get on it? Like, we were to see if we would pick up that information, whether it was gifted to you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's a great stone because selenite has so much energy with it. Mm-hmm. Not that other ones don't, but it was just the information with that one.
But that was, maybe I'm wrong. What are the ones that are white and it's like long and it's grainy? Like the wands and stuff
that's
like
selenite.
That. That's selenite too.
Yeah.
That one was round.
Yours is
soft.
Like that flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got the lines in it though.
And that you can't put near water.
You don't want to put that. No.
Because it'll dissolve or what?
It'll ruin it. Yeah. Well, it's a very soft stone, so it's a fragile stone.
I don't know.
You don't want to put, you know, any of that.
Yeah.
No braces.
Well, it was a good trade-off then, the jasper for the selenite. I need something that's a little tougher. Right? Besides, this one spoke to me. That one didn't.
That one didn't speak to me,
so he passed it on to me.
Yeah, you know. No.
Charlie.
But you know what?
Charlie does this all the time.
No.
It's supposed to be a sexy Charlie voice.
I'll back.
Wait, do that again.
You know.
But
when my buddy gave me that stone, okay, he gave me one, and he gave the branch manager at the bank one because he didn't want her to feel bad that he was giving me something. He wasn't giving her something. But I was holding the stone, and you told me, didn't you tell me that it's a worry stone, and you hold it,
well,
you rub
it's
it?
And, one. It's one, you know, to make you, if that one's for healing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's, it's definitely one, you know, you're supposed to hold it and you get the energy from it. And
because I told somebody that in the bank, and they were having it. This is at a different branch. And I'm holding it. And they said, what do you got there? I said, it's a worry stone. And they go,
what are you worried about?
Yeah. Basically, what are you worried about? I said, nothing. They said, I'm rubbing
That's
the stone.
That's why you don't have any worries.
So they looked at me and they said, and now this is somebody who doesn't believe anything. They said, the woman goes, can I hold that? I said, as long as I get it back. She goes, yeah. I said, okay. So I gave it to her. She's rubbing it. And this woman has, I'm not going to say she's got a lot of problems, but you know, she's got a tough life. It's tough. She gave it back to me, you know, and she didn't say nothing. And she smiled and she's walking around. Afterwards, I said to her, how do you feel? She goes, I'm okay. Why? I said, you feel better after you touch the stone or before you touch the stone? She goes, well, definitely after. So I was like, oh.
Transfer of energy.
That's it. It's just the fact of, you know, depending upon what you're going to touch and what you're going to get from it.
Which is what you do when you're doing psychometry.
It's the whole thing. That's the whole thing.
Now, to kind of stuff like that, you got to keep recharging that, or is that always going to be in that stuff?
Well, you know what? Like, what we teach is, obviously, I mean, for some people, if they have a clear quartz, they can actually tell when it's getting cloudy.
Yeah.
But you should always charge your stones. We know that. Like, every time there's a full moon or something,
right.
We all joke.
Right.
Or they put their stones out in the moonlight, or like you had mentioned, you can bury it in the dirt. But it's good to recharge your stones all the time. You know,
when
it comes during, you know, everybody does it at certain times, but absolutely. Or cleansing them, especially if you're somebody that uses them to release things, or, you know,
or
you are using
stones.
It for healing. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
You know, so you definitely want to, you know, take care of that.
Yeah. I just I'm fascinated with the fact of the power of crystals. Okay, I like the idea of the crystals skulls. I like the idea of what that entails and what it means. Just recently, science has been saying that these scientists have been saying that they are starting to just understand maybe a crystal the size of a sugar cube could be used as a storage device for information.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of magnetically in your computer, a little thing like this could be, okay, so now you sit there and say, okay, so you could, in a sugar cube sized, you know, crystal, maybe enough information that would be, you know, tons and tons of libraries, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit there and you say, well, in the past, when those,
isn't that what we have in our head?
Well, not
Look
really.
At all the information
we don't
have
use
in
that
head.
Much there.
Some people don't use any of it.
Some people don't use any of it. But figure a crystal skull and how many cubic little sugar cubes you could fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if just because we can't get anything out of it, really, for our own use, doesn't mean that may be a civilization from another world hasn't put all the information we ever needed in there. And they're just sitting there looking back going, yeah, wait till they unlock that baby. Wait till they figure out how to get that information out of there. And it might be as simple as somebody never put two wires into it and connected it to a computer. Who knows? It might just light up. We don't know. But, I mean, it's psychometry from every different angle. You know? Psychometry. Yeah.
No.
We have Barry White in the audience here.
Yep, like I said, I was trying to be Charlie.
Well, anyway, so what else are we going to talk about? I'm done with psychometry because that's going to lead us back to the telepathy.
Telepathy. That leads us to next week when you have no choice but to talk about telepathy.
Is that what we're talking about next week?
Not the whole.
I was going to say
one of the mini subjects.
I think I'm out of town next week.
Charlie gets frustrated when it, and you know what? Charlie excels in certain areas.
In everything else,
he does.
Yeah,
and so it's very frustrating for. And what's funny is, what you do because you can do it. It's just you when you start with it because you don't like it. Period.
Yeah,
so what
like
you
it.
Do is subconsciously you're like, 3, 7, B, F, I'm done.
Well, you said the quicker it comes to you, that's
probably
it.
I know, but it's also, this is what we teach people. Like, if you've already told yourself you're not, like, you don't feel like you resonate with that, you know, specific topic or exercise, you're not going to do it. Period. You will never get that information because you're not allowing it. Because you just, it's not something you care for. But there could come a time where you would really want to know what somebody is thinking.
Well, wait a minute now. Hang on a second. Hang on.
Because you do it in a funny way.
I think I do it. But not just for, okay, think of a number. Think of this. Think of that.
Exactly.
When I'm at work, when I'm at home with my wife, when I'm with you, when we talk,
you
read people and you do it constantly.
That's why I said you can do it.
It's just that I don't like it. It cheapens it when you say this. What number am I thinking? What color am I thinking?
I wish everyone would have seen the face that I just gave Charlie.
Here's the fun, because Charlie's at the advanced stage. So for people listening to the episode, the basics, because those are simple basics. So it's really just learning to tune in to that.
That being
said, beyond that.
Telepathy isn't easy.
No. It's one of neither is remote viewing, neither is none of it's easy.
No.
The only thing that comes easier than people think is really just allowing yourselves to tap into your intuition in general, your inner voice in general. And it's really just getting out of your own head. None of the specific, exercises or areas of psychic development are all easy. Some come easier for others. Sometimes mediumship comes a lot easier for somebody before somebody else, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's usually because somebody's a little bit afraid of it or they're unsure of what they're going to tap into. But whereas somebody getting some type of information, like last night you guys were all great with clairvoyance. And that's definitely something we'll talk more about next week. That's a big, subject, with development and what people like to know a lot of too. So, but it's like we said, it's a lot easier sometimes just kind of step back and start to tap into your intuition than it is to like really get in to the nitty gritty of every single thing. Cause some of it's hard. It's the frustration level. It's not that it's hard. It's relaxing your mind enough to allow that side to develop. It's not easy for everybody.
A lot of people get uptight and they want to do it so bad.
And they block it. They just block it. Yep.
You know what? I'm just thinking now that
just now.
It just came to me.
Harley's thinking.
Something not too many people would say about me, but I was always told, and this is gonna sound funny, that I took a creative writing course. Okay, I took a creative writing course in college, and the teacher said to me, "Wow, that's very good. That's a very good story, right?" And he says, "You ought to write more and send it into these magazines and see if you can get published and this and that." I didn't think anything of it. And then I did. I wrote a bunch of these little short story type of deals. And I'm just realizing now that as I was writing those stories, when we do mediumship and we're sitting there and we're writing down everything that somebody's saying to us, when I was writing those stories, I was hearing it in my mind and writing down what I was saying. And now I just realized I'm not that talented. Somebody was telling me what to write down. I was doing mediumship back then and I didn't even know it. Somebody was telling me what to write down. And I was like, oh man, on my own, I suck. But, I just tapped into somebody else. That's pretty cool. Or when you make up stories for your kids, my kids used to laugh. And they sit there. Now they say to me, "Remember that story about it?" I go, "What story?" And they go, "You remember?" And they go through the whole thing, and you're like,
"Yeah, but you're
I told
a good
you that
storyteller."
Story.
What the Radio Land doesn't know is that your whole story gets told with your whole face and your whole body. Like you're like a.
Well,
great,
I apologize for that.
No, you're a great storyteller, right? He's
Engage
your audience.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you're an instructor for a number of years. You have to engage the audience. So I used to pull them in.
Like, suck them in.
Like a bartender.
Like a bartender. That's it. Let them have your stories, and then you, yep, you know, slap them down. Okay, that's $18. Come on, pay up. No more free drinks for you. Come on, pay up. Not so bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, we teach a lot on this show.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. No, actually, damn, you know, you had me sit here in front of the computer. We haven't taken one call.
Well, you're the one in charge.
I know, but I feel like, you know, well, we got 55, 60 callers in here now. I don't want to just pick one because then I'm just going to be like, no, I'm not going to. No.
Randomly choose.
You know what? Next week. No, I'm not going to do
Charlie
it because
having fun all by himself on the show.
Well, I'm going to consider if I pick somebody and then they're going to go, can you tell me if my boyfriend still loves me? No, that's not what we do here. This is not what we do here. We get those.
No.
You can't answer like that. You can't answer like that. You sit there and tell them to pick up a stone and see what they get. You know?
Better?
Yeah. Right. Or you could do what we did the other time with the pendulums, and we had one person just, well, look, yes. The answer is yes. Holy crap, jeez. We talked about pendulums, right? You sit there and you go, okay. The spirit's not moving it.
No,
but
if you think a spirit is sitting next to you and going, ping,
yeah,
ping,
right?
Ping, like it's not happening.
There's something wrong,
your
right?
Your intuitive energy doing that.
That's your intuitive
actually,
energy.
I just instructed Maureen on how to use a pendulum yesterday.
Okay.
She went over to the wall and we have this giant carnelian pendulum. It's really beautiful.
That's the orange one?
Yeah, the big orange one. And she was like, I'm really drawn to this. What do you use a pendulum for? And I like gave her a little workshop on how to use a pendulum.
Really?
We could do some. She loved it.
Pendulum work.
Pendulum.
Well, we can save you from telepathy and work with some pendulum.
No.
Okay, we'll do a little beach. Jeez.
I'm not really keen on the pendulums
on the
either,
pendulum.
But, you know, what gets me is okay, some people...
Maybe we'll say pendulums for ghost hunter week.
Yeah. October. Some people sway them and really think they're getting an answer, okay? Some people do that. But what gets me is that when you're holding it and you're so steady, you're being so careful, and it's not swaying. It's not going in a circle. It's not going left to right. It's not going forward, backwards. It's not swinging around. It's just sitting there quivering, vibrating.
Yeah, yours did that.
It does it every time. I think I got
Parkinson's
or something.
Because even though you don't care for the pendulum, you definitely get your information with it.
I'm not. No, basically with quivering, it's going, F you, buddy. I'm not giving you an answer. I don't like you.
It
you
is
know?
Not F-ing him.
So no matter what we talk about next week, Charlie's going to hate it. So let's
go. No, because I won't be here.
But that's what I told Maureen. I said, when you're doing this, put your elbow on the table so you know that it's not
right.
You. Like,
right.
Make sure your arm is steady so you know that this is your intuitive energy doing
yep.
this.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It's always really cool to watch people's reactions the first time they use a pendulum.
What did she find? Did she ask questions and get answers? Or?
Well, I told her, you know, you can either tell it which direction for yes and no and I don't know, or you could ask it, and she asked it, and I think it was up and down for yes and then side to side for no, and then her circle was maybe for her.
That's what I have. It's like a head. My,
yeah.
My yes is
yeah.
like a head nodding. And
wow.
My yes is a head nodding and my no is in a circle.
So, but... It's like all the little, you know, different things you do for development, and you can use it in your everyday life. So pendulums are great for, you know, helping you find things or just getting in direction. Just direction.
Healing.
Yep. People use it for healing to see the areas, you know, that need, if they're balanced or not, or if there's an area that needs work. Or
all the guys I know, all the guys that are into this, they always have their pendulum with them.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't matter how many swings, yes or no, up or down.
Of course, if you were in briefs, it might be a little bit tougher, but...
Holy thing, we're all getting a little punchy.
just
and
a little
just
fuzzy.
So you know, Mercedes and I are just staring at each other.
Well, you know, hey, nobody said that they wanted to see if it was a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Nobody asked about our yeses and no's. So, yeah.
Straight out.
Don't ask, don't tell, you know? This is a sick bastard.
That's the end of the day.
You know, we work 8 hours the whole day.
That was our psychometry show.
And that was the psychometry. Yeah,
this is more like, you know, midnight radio.
Psychometry. Hey, you want to touch my pendulum? Here,
yes,
here,
no.
let me get it off the wall. And I hang it up there when I'm sitting down. Right there looks just straight up and down. There you go. Anyway.
From the guy that
told me
not to say
balloon
balls.
What? Yeah, you know. Oh no, we're still on. I thought they did because I didn't see anything here. But...
No, we have like 15 minutes left.
Do we?
Yes, only 8:15.
Well, hey.
It's because we're like 15 minutes over the time. We always leave a window of time, you know.
So what was Dana and Vera talking about? Monkey balls.
Oh, I don't know those. What are those?
I don't know. Vera brought
them in.
I don't know what they're for.
We need one. Actually, Vera was supposed to...
No, they were...
No.
They're stones, right?
Yeah, they're something.
They're stones.
For something, yeah. And one is male and one is female.
Yes.
And
yes.
Very interesting, but I don't know anything about it. So.
When they had them, they were talking about them. I was fascinated with how they were working them
maybe
in their hands.
Maybe next week they'll be available to call in.
Vera actually was... she planned on calling in.
Wow.
So
who's
she
that?
She had
Vera. Oh, Vera?
She would be able to explain it.
Yeah. I wish she would have called in.
Well,
but...
she had to be somewhere, but she said she thought she'd be back in time, but if not, we can always ask her next week.
Well, I don't know. She must be at the end of the line here. I can't see the end of the list here for people to call in.
That's on page.
You can turn the page on
down
this?
Down arrow.
Oh.
Scroll down, Charlie. Scroll.
I didn't realize it. Look at that. You can scroll down. Wow. You know what we ought to do, too, here? We ought to use the chat thing, the chat room.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure they
want to
chat with us after the last
Well,
time.
Yeah, maybe we don't do it so much.
You don't need to bleep that half out.
If we chat with anybody, you're not sitting at the computer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that because I don't know what I'm doing with your computer anyway.
Yes, we want you for our TV show.
For the TV show, maybe. Yeah, that'll have to be on cable. But, no. It's
Showtime.
Good stuff, Showtime.
Tennessee
Wheat
Checkers are coming back on. Now, they get
who?
A TV show we should go to.
Oh.
Tennessee Wheat Checkers.
Yeah.
Chasers.
Yep.
What are they? What?
Like, they're all, like, from the Outbacks.
What are they called?
Tennessee Wheat Chasers. Wraith. What are those?
Really?
That was a whole different ballgame. What was that? Wow.
Whip them out Wednesday.
Oh, that's what it was.
What?
Oh, my God.
That's what it was.
We even got a demonstration there.
I never watched the show.
Boom.
It was a radio show, wasn't it?
We need to... I'm, like, totally out of the way. We need to have some kind of camera with the show, too.
We
so
got that.
Can
I can see
our...
that. I could put a camera on you.
We do have Skype. That's all, you know. Uh-huh.
That'd be great. I'd love that. We could actually show what
we're
explaining.
Next, when we do our live show from the store and we do our investigation here, we can Skype it.
Hmm.
We're doing that now, aren't we?
No, with the pitch, with the
no,
with
the
camera too.
Actually,
put
a camera
in
the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How cool would that be? Then we could show them our pendulums.
Everything. Whichever way you're swinging.
Oh, my God. We keep going straight, and somehow we go off.
Pretty bad. Hey, weren't we going to have Jane on again? Jane Doherty?
Yeah, hopefully she'll be here. We have set a date, but she's going to be coming back to do a sound.
Oh, so she's going to be here at the branch.
At the store.
Well, besides the other stores that you have, this is the Branch of Trinity, yes. Ghost Asylum? Wow. What's it on if you don't have satellite?
It's on the American Channel 195. That's all I know.
What if you just have basic cable?
You mean A&E?
Yeah, everyone has that channel.
I don't have it.
It might be the sister of the A&E.
I pay $22.95 a month. I don't have that channel. There you go. What?
You do not pay $22.95. I pay $300 a month. Possible.
Are you serious?
It's over $200, yeah.
Then it's $23.95.
What do you?
I have basic.
Oh, you have cable?
Basic.
You have channel 7.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, up to like 24.
Well, you can pick it up on the internet, right?
Did you see the thing about the, the Parsippany Hilton, the chiller that's coming up in October?
Yeah, I don't know what.
And you know who's going to be there? Zachary.
It's probably the weekend of our fair.
It's the 24th and 25th, I think.
24th is our ghost hunt.
He was nasty.
Oh, I guess
no,
I'll
maybe the 24th, 25th, 26th.
Yeah.
Maybe those 3 days.
He was bad.
Then we'll go on Sunday.
In the 60s, he was bad.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Chiller Theater.
And they got a list of all the people that are going to be there.
Yeah.
I was shocked at the people that are going to
be
there.
I wonder who told you about that chiller thing.
The only reason I remember, hang on a second. Obviously, you did, because I had never heard of it before last year. But I went out. I wanted to find information about Zachary, because I remember him from, like, the 60s, being on UHF TV and all of that, you know. He'd have the monster movies on and the ghouls and all of that, right? I go out to his thing, and it says something about Chiller Theater. And I was like, what the hell? What's this? So I click on it, and all of a sudden it takes me to the whole thing that's going to be out there at the Hilton.
Yeah.
The Hilton or the Sheraton?
The Sheraton.
And it's showing all the people that are going to be there. Now, some of them I had no clue who the hell they were. I mean, no clue.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, the guy that was the $6 million man, what was that guy?
Lee Majors
is going to be. I mean, they got people that I sat there and was like, holy cow.
They had a lot of great people.
Yeah, it was amazing. The 25th is a Saturday, October 25th.
Well, we have to go on the Sunday, 26th. So 26th. I have to go too.
Yeah, but I was just amazed, and I'm sitting there going, Zachary? Now, this guy's like in his 80s.
Oh, my God.
Okay. He's in his 80s.
Oh, yeah,
and they're still farming him out to do public,
Herschel,
you know, things.
That's where I met Herschel from Walking Dead before he got his head chopped off. I got my picture taken with him and everything.
Yeah, his head chopped off.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
So that's almost that like last night with Eleanor, with seeing all the dog heads, right?
I never watched it.
Eleanor saw all the dog heads last night.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, with all the
dogs. See, I thought that was like, God, it's kind of gross. Isn't it? Dog heads laying off. She goes, no, not dead, not chopped off. Just see the dog head.
For anyone who doesn't know Eleanor, or if we've never talked about her, she is our 80-something-year-old psychic portrait artist. So for her to say something like, I see a bunch of dog heads laying around.
That's normal. That's okay.
That's an everyday.
Yeah.
Yep. And Eleanor is here every month at Bring a Friend, which is next week.
What is Bring a Friend?
When you bring somebody with you, you get to get a psychic reading of your choice for $17.50. So it's it's like 2 for $35. 20 minutes.
So you get 2 for 20 minutes?
You get 2 20-minute psychic readings for $35.
That's what I said.
Yep.
You get 2 for 20 minutes?
Yep.
20 minutes and then 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Either one? Now, can you get a reading? Can you get tarot cards?
Well, they don't have to do two readings. They can bring somebody, and as long as there's 2 readings done for $35, a lot of people, they come in, they split it. One does $17.50, the other does.
And you do this for, like, how many people? 2, 3, 4, 5?
100? No. No.
No, when do you start? You start in the morning?
We start at 12 in the afternoon, and we go till 9 o'clock at night.
Are you
serious?
So
when we're finished.
You go constantly like that? Holy.
Yeah. One little break to shovel in food. I know, because
I
schedule
how I work
for Jackie and take all of her phone calls on Bring a Friend.
Now, let me ask you something. On Bring a Friend night, can you make an appointment?
No.
Walk-in only. So it's first come, first serve.
There's two readers. We usually have a guest person, so sometimes it's another reader, or sometimes it's an essential oil person. It works.
You ever have anybody?
We also have a massage.
There you go.
We do massage. We have massage. Our massage therapist
is that Erin.
She's great.
She
does her massages for $1 a minute. She does the chair massage that day. And then the gift shop is 15% off that just that one day too. So there's Eleanor, myself, Erin, Jen, who also does tarot, and then Jen also does the crystal healing and Reiki.
Wait a minute, 15% off your prices?
Energy healing. Yeah,
15.
Your prices are already down there.
Yep.
You're cheap. You're like cheaper than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, pretty much getting everything for cost. Just
holy
that one day.
Crap. And this is when?
Yeah, was that cool?
September 12th.
So this is a week from this Friday.
Yep. Correct.
Oh man, Bring a Friend.
What a
unique idea.
A big Bring a
Friend. Well, okay, well you gotta tell people why, because of the summer fest.
Yeah,
we just had the fest, and there were you guys were. Non-stop.
I'm
going to
send Mercedes Voss a little pleading letter that they let her out of her.
Please.
I beg you.
Please
let her out. Give
her a free reading.
Give Jackie the email for your boss.
Please let her off.
give Jackie the email so she can email the boss. We'll all email the boss. How's that?
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll probably need two. We need two people.
Yeah, but that's outstanding.
Mercedes is like three people.
Now, wait a second.
She's good.
How often do you have this Bring a Friend?
The second Friday of every month.
Every month.
Every month.
Oh, I like that. That was good. We can both keep talking like this. Every month. No, that's every month here. Here.
Here.
Here at the store in Hamburg.
Trinity Metaphysical.
And the number is 973-209-7070. So if you want to come to anything we've got here at the shop, 973-209-7070.
Yes, and development is every Tuesday night.
Oh, I forgot that. Well, we don't want to get in too big. I mean,
No.
We have a good time here.
We had so much fun.
I don't want new people coming. I don't want people we don't know.
She's only joking. She's just
letting talk. The more the merrier.
Yeah, we actually just had a couple new people at this.
Yes,
we
did.
Two or three new people at this one. So
absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, we had it was
a
good time.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah.
So
and then you get to have Charlie up front and personal.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. That's a real scary thought. But what I keep saying is, you know, when I'm out on Facebook or stuff, I keep saying to all these people that are poking me, I sit there and say, you know, if you're poking me, call in. And now I see all of these phone numbers, but I don't know who they are. I don't know which ones they are that I know. I don't have a name for them, so I'm going to, well, I don't. Well, you have to. Isn't that proper etiquette?
Yeah.
It's proper etiquette if you're on Facebook. You got to poke back.
Anywhere.
You got poked, you got to poke back. So, I mean, you know, I've always
first
been good at
poking.
First
hour was psychometry. The second half hour was pure entertainment.
Psychometry, depending upon what you're touching. I mean, you know.
That's it. Entertainment.
Yeah. Well, anyway, listen. We had a good time tonight. And for anybody that's still on the phone, I hope you just listened and had a great time with us because... we could. I'm not good with this, so I really couldn't answer.
I hope you got all your
didn't even call in.
I think she's somewhere in. Okay, look, some people hung up. We're down to 45 calls now. Wait.
Decided I'm not doing that.
Wrong show.
We got like 2 minutes left in the show, and we got 45 people still waiting, thinking they're going to get a call in.
Yeah,
right. I'm sorry. No, we're not telling any more of those. They'll have to come in next week. And listen, right? Yeah.
Next week we'll talk about something about psychic development since it's psychic development month.
I'm a past
that
life.
Charlie likes to talk about.
What are we talking about?
obviously it'll be something that you enjoy. If we mention telepathy, it'll probably be 1 minute.
I enjoy a lot of things. It's just a matter of, I'm just curious because mediumship I love. I think that's great. I love...
Then let's do like mediumship and clairvoyance. Okay. Or one
we
or the other.
What about past lives?
You
ever do that?
We did that a while back.
But we did it just specifically on that in general. So we could do mediumship and past lives or something like that.
Yeah.
Or we could do one or the other in development.
It'll all come out.
It will be a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Oh.
There you go.
You know who else is going to be at Chiller Theater?
Who?
What the hell? Her name was Sack. The woman that, to me, has the sexiest voice in the world. Her name is Sally Kellerman.
Oh, I know her.
Did you know her? She was in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yep.
She was the woman teacher
for
years. She was also in MASH, the original MASH movie. For me, I hear her voice, and I don't care what she looks like, one or another. Her voice is so sexy. So sexy. I'm telling you.
Wait till you go up for her autograph.
Sally Kellerman. I couldn't.
Stand in line for,
you know what? I'd be holding my stone in my hand going, look at her, and she'd go, get him out of line. I'm not talking to this guy. There's something wrong with him. Yeah, right?
You want to be on our show?
Why would I ask her? She is phenomenal. I have loved everything she's ever done.
Our show.
Yeah, because when she was in Back to School, she was great.
She
played that part so well with Rodney.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
She was great. But listen, we're running out of time. And okay, some of the people are hanging up now. But it's okay. Maybe next week we'll start earlier doing calls, right? But listen, so we're broadcast here every Tuesday night.
Wednesday night.
We do psychic development. Psychic development.
We only had ice cream. There was no liquor involved in this.
Darn.
Usually we have a glass of wine, but not today.
But
we didn't
need
it.
Maybe a few glasses of wine sometimes, you know? But we do have our psychic development classes every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Okay, we go for about an hour and a half, and it's dirt cheap. So if you don't come, it's your own fault. Secondly, there she is. There's the picture of my woman, Sally Kellerman. There she is. I love that woman. I don't even know her. I love her. That's all there is to it. Yeah, exactly. Okay? Then we got... We're running out of time. We're almost done. And then we've got our show.
Blog Talk is saying, get off!
Blog Talk, they're getting ready to hammer us right now. We have Blog Talk Radio Among the Realms Wednesday nights, okay?
At 7.
And every second Friday of the month, we have...
90 seconds.
We got to talk quick. Listen, so we're gonna finish up right now. I'm saying goodnight. This is Charlie.
Jackie.
Mercedes.
All four of us here tonight. We're having a great time. We hope you had a good time. Hope you listened and had a great time, and we'll come back in next week, okay? We're done talking. We'll see you next week, all right?
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.